Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can make.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back again for another episode of the Dusty Buttes. Quite a bit to get into this week. You had Tampa sweeping Florida. You had two natural hat tricks. The Rangers tying up the series versus the Hurricanes, and we will get into all that. But first, please do not forget to go over to Twitter and follow us over there at Dusty Buttes, also on Instagram at The Dusty Buttes, and Facebook.com at The Dusty Buttes. We are brought to you by NorseBeards.com. That is NorseBeards.com. Use the promo code OCS for 25% off your entire order. I know they just came out with a beard butter, so you'll want to go over there and check that out. We're also brought to you by SterlingPigBrewery.com, or I'm sorry, we are brought to you by Sterling Pig Brewery in Media, PA. Visit SterlingPig.com to check out their great selection of craft beers. We're also brought to you by Neshaminy Creek Brewery. You can find them on Facebook at Neshaminy Creek Brewery, where you can visit NeshaminyCreekBrewery.com and check out everything they have to offer. All right, everyone. Kevin McHugh here, obviously, with Nick Scorsese, Scorantino back again. And Nick, quite a lot of action has happened since the last time we spoke last week. A team's been knocked out, a couple teams up 3-1, and we have one series tied. What is your impression of this second round been so far?
We all thought the first round was great. I mean, this second round has been something else for every single hockey fan. I mean, you know, these games are getting so scrappy that it is honestly you don't want to miss one of them. Like, every single game, there's at least something. There's a player that each team probably hates and wants to, you know, beat the crap out of. There's, you know, players putting their skills on display. Like, you know, Connor McDavid seems to have taken a step in his career once again. Didn't think that ceiling was any higher, but clearly he has proved us wrong. It's fun to watch, man. There's really nothing else to say. It's so fun to watch. I love watching all these games, and it's just, you know, exciting.
Yeah, and you mentioned the scrappiness. There's been two separate incidents with goaltenders and people running into goaltenders, as we'll get into. But before we get into that stuff, I wanted to talk about Tampa, Florida here first. Tampa coming out with a sweep of the Florida Panthers without Braden Point, may I add. And real quick, I guess I'll ask you, is this more of Tampa Bay being that good and having that championship pedigree, or is this more of a failure of the Florida Panthers?
I think this is more of a failure of the Florida Panthers. With Tampa losing a guy like Braden Point, who has been a very, very successful offensive center for them, to lose that type of player, you know, in the second round of the playoffs, or before the start of the second round of the playoffs, it's, you know, not easy for them because he's a very hard guy to replace in your lineup. He brings a lot of, energy to that team. But for Florida, I mean, you have Barkov, you trade for Claude Giroux, Jonathan Huberdeau, Anthony Duclair, Sam Reinhart, you know, Sam Bennett. You have all these guys. And to be honest, Bobrovsky didn't even really show up. And it kind of makes you think, you know, I feel like for one game, you got to throw Spencer Knight in there. I know, you know, he might have not had the greatest season, but Bobrovsky didn't look comfortable in the net the entire time. And some of the goals that he let in, I was like, come on. And a lot of that, too, definitely falls on the defense of the Florida Panthers. For example, what was it? Game three, I believe, when I think it might have been Weaker, went to go hit Kucherov. And it's like, you know, you opened up a passing lane for Kucherov to make that beautiful backhanded pass to, if I'm pretty sure it was Ross Colton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you should know by now, Kucherov has an unbelievable passing ability. So,
oh, you're talking about when they scored with 4 seconds left?
Yeah.
At the end, I think that was game two. I think that was still in Florida. I think okay. It was 1-1 about to head to overtime. Yeah. And he passed it out from behind the net to Ross Colton.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. you know, you've played against Kucherov plenty of times. You know that he is an unbelievable scorer and has the, you know, this amazing ability to pass the puck. But, you know, just stay, like, hug the post, stay there, take away that passing lane so he can't, you know, you can't dunk on Bobrovsky. But that team fell apart. And honestly, they might have won the President's Trophy, but that team didn't look like they won the President's Trophy at all.
Yeah, they were the highest scoring team in the league coming into the playoffs. And we all know that when the playoffs start, all those things, they go out the door. Everyone starts fresh. The game tightens up. Not as many goals are scored. I think in round one, I mean, there was a ton of scoring going on in round one. But moving forward, you know, Bob, he did let in a lot of, some questionable goals. He made a couple, like, really outstanding saves. And for me, I think this is a failure. And it seemed like Claude Giroux had carried over some of that poisonous Philadelphia Flyer power play over to the Panthers, who I think you said before the show went like 1-for-40 on the power play in the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah, but, it was not great.
Yeah, it was not great. And I mean, even with that being said, there's a very, very special player over there on Tampa Bay and Andre Vasilevskiy, who I know we spoke after round one and saying that there wasn't a guy in the league you'd rather have on your team in a must-win game. Well, he's let in 4 goals in his last 5 playoff games. He let in 3 goals total in this series, making 46 or 49 saves in game 4 for the shutout. And there's just something that after the first 2 games, especially after the 3rd game, you're down 3-0, but after the first 2, when a goalie is just consistently making stops and like making the spectacular stops and making a lot of hard saves look easy, it kind of gets into the head of the opposing team. And that's something that an outstanding goaltender can do. And the things that Andre Vasilevskiy is doing right now, it's just, you know, it just looks like he's on pace and on track to be one of the best goaltenders of all time. And I don't think that's hyperbolic. I don't think that's living in the moment to say that. And you can and you can come at me and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong or crazy.
I don't have anything to argue with you about on this. His numbers speak for themselves, and just the sheer amount of what he's been able to do, especially because when you look at Tampa, they've been such an offensive heavy team. Like, you know, their defense is, you know, Hedman's great and all that. You have some older vets and, you know, McDonough, Sergachev, a few other guys on that, that round out that defense. And
Eric Cernak.
Yeah, Eric Cernak too. And that's not, you know, sometimes those vets might not be able to compete necessarily as well as some of the younger defensemen because they might lose a little bit of their speed and some of their skills. But, some of the saves that he still makes – I mean, you know, some of the glove saves that he makes where he's like reaching across his entire body to get his glove across to stop them from, scoring a goal. I mean, I'm pretty sure he made a few of those saves on the Panthers series, but there's just nobody has his number. And I think that's been the biggest difference between these two teams is Bobrovsky has been notably not as great of a goalie this year and the last few years. And Vasilevskiy just, you know, continues to make these unbelievable saves. And yeah, he's definitely one of the best goalies that we have definitely seen in a very long time.
This might be another something. This might also be something that we could argue about depending on how you feel on it. Is it a stretch at all to say that Vasilevskiy is the best player on that team?
No, it's not a stretch. I mean, yeah. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Stamkos, Kucherov, Brayden Point all can make their case for that, but in today's day and age for hockey, your goalie can make a huge impact to how the rest of the team plays. I mean, the prime example of that, you can correct me if I'm wrong about saying this, but the prime example of that is look at how Shesterkin has helped the Rangers play. That, you know, energetic, putting up those big save numbers and making all those key saves helps, I think it helps inject some energy into the team to be like, look, he's standing on his head in the back of the net. We got to go out there and, you know, lessen the load a little bit for him. And I think, you know, Vasilevsky definitely does that for Tampa Bay. And they, you know, now, like, as I said before, you know, goalies are very important in today's game due to the fact, like, you know, he faced 49 shots in that 2-0 win to sweep the Panthers. Like, facing 49 shots is ridiculous. I mean, the other thing too, I mean, Calgary did win that series, but, you know, Ottinger faced what, 60 something shots?
Yeah.
And only let in one goal. Like, he definitely helped the Stars make as much of a push in the playoffs as, you know, anybody else. But I'd say he's definitely the best on the team. I think Stamkos and Kucherov are a close second, and you know, so is Point. So there's definitely a lot of talent, and that's the other crazy part about Tampa. Like, you know, you have how much money locked up between those three guys, and, you know, their team is bit, like, who would have thought Corey Perry would be like one of the best power play people that they have on their team?
Well, that's the thing too, is one thing that Tampa has, you know, really hit on over the last few years too, is like their, I guess you could say, their low key signings or their low money signings, you know, players that have been rotated in from, you know, one of the first two cup teams. It just seems that every signing they make, even something like, you know, an older veteran like Corey Perry, or, you know,
Kev, I can't hear you. I still can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So, like I was saying, Pat Maroon, who by himself has the second longest playoff series win streak of all time. He's won 14 straight playoff series going back, because he won the cup with St. Louis right before going to Tampa. So he himself has a 14-game streak or series streak in the playoffs, and it's just... So they're moving on to the third round now. They're searching for the three-peat, which hasn't been done since the early 80s. The Islanders won four in a row. And then the best chance at it recently was the Penguins obviously won back-to-back in 16-17 and then lost in the second round in 2018 to the eventual champs, the Washington Capitals. And you're just looking at Tampa and you see Hedman, Stamkos, Point, Vasi, Kucherov, Maroon, you know, Miguel Sergachev, Ryan McDonough, you know, all these players who have been there for both cups, and now they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals after making mincemeat of the Florida Panthers. You have to like their chances, right? Like, you would, like, it's just especially with that type of goaltender, like a goaltender that can literally, and not that he stole them this series by any means, because, you know, it's not like they needed him to only give up one goal per game. Right. I got to say, man, I think they can pull it off. And obviously, I didn't pick them to win this series, but that's out the window now.
Yeah, I didn't pick them to win the series either, because I, like I'm sure everybody else that watched the NHL, thought, hey, the Panthers have been this great offensive team. They can maybe get it done. Clearly, that is not the case. But yeah, no, I also agree with that, too. The only thing, though. And I know we've said this before about the Panthers, but the Rangers and Carolina are a different breed than the Panthers, in my opinion. I think that the one thing that sets them apart is the Rangers and the Hurricanes are both physical teams. Something the Panthers, I felt, lacked. You know, they had a lot of speed. I felt like, you know, the Panthers, they just didn't really have that, like, you know, edge. Like, you know, for the Rangers, it's been Ryan Reeves has been that, you know, edgy, you know, brute force that they bring to that lineup. And it showed, I believe it was yesterday, yesterday's game got a little scrappy in the Carolina Rangers game. But, and you know, Carolina has Max Domi, and they have a few other guys that are, you know, a little scrappy as well. And I think that's a difference because, you know, they're going to play one of those two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's definitely going to be a little bit tougher because I think that they just bring that more. And they're, you know, Florida was all about speed. And that can only get you so much, so far before, you know, burn out. And that's the difference between Florida and the Hurricanes and the Rangers. The Rangers and the Hurricanes definitely have a little bit more physicality, but they also have speed and skill. So it's going to be a little bit more of a tougher matchup, but it's definitely going to be a fun one to watch depending on who wins Carolina and New York.
Yeah, and you could even say that, you know, Florida's tough guy physical presence, if you want to say, is Radko Gudas. And from someone who has watched Radko Gudas a lot with the Flyers, he can be physical to a fault sometimes, get himself out of position. Isn't that great defensively? So, you know, I was never a huge Radko Gudas fan to begin with, but you mentioned the Hurricanes and the Rangers, which I think is a good time to transition over into that series. If you don't know, Hurricanes take the first two games in Carolina. They come up to New York. Rangers win both their games at home, so both teams taking care of business. The Hurricanes have yet to win a road game in the playoffs. They lost all three to the Bruins in the first round. They've just dropped two to the Rangers. But luckily for them, they have the series advantage for winning the division, so they'll get the four home games, which seems to be big for them since they just can't figure out how to win on the road right now.
Yeah, and the only other thing, though, you know, they may not be a great road team, and they may be, you know, they are a fantastic home team, but realistically, if the Rangers tucked away a few more chances against Antti Raanta in game one, that would have been, you know, the series would have been a whole lot different. And I think that,
well, they had the lead the whole game in game one up until about 3 minutes left in the third until they, Carolina tied the game.
Yeah. And I think now, though, with them going back to Carolina, the Rangers having won two back to back games, I think that they might have a little bit more of an advantage over Carolina right now than Carolina thinks, because Carolina's thinking, we're going home, we got this, playing on our home ice. But, you know, they the Rangers have definitely held their own, and it was tough to watch games one and two, but, you know, games three and four have definitely been a different. It's been a different Rangers team. And I think we need to talk about what happened last night, though.
Last night, with which Trouba. Game? With Trouba?
Yeah.
No, you give your thoughts on it first.
I don't think, and I mean, you might think differently. I don't think it was necessarily dirty, because when you watch the replay, Trouba was committed to that hit. He was going to hit Domi regardless, and Domi tried to back out, you know, he tried to like duck and get out of the way, and that's what led him to be in that vulnerable position. But at the same time, you know, Trouba had, I mean, the other thing though, Domi had no right cross-checking at the end of game three. You know, my opinion, that's just some petty shit that doesn't need to happen. Like,
well, okay, he's a Domi, so
I know, but it's like, you know, you lost, get over it.
Doesn't far from the tree.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, there's no need to cross check, start all that fight. It was great hearing, you know, Gallant be like, you know, we don't really stand for that BS, but I don't think it was an illegal hit. It may have looked like it, but, you know, I feel like Trouba did kind of try to stop, but then, you know, once he had that force going, once you have that force going, it's hard to stop yourself. And if, you know, at that point, Domi should just try to take the, you know, the hit itself without trying to duck. Cause once you're ducking, you're putting your, you know, head and neck in a very, very, very vulnerable position. And that's obviously something you don't want to do. And I don't think the league will suspend Trouba, but at this point, it's all up in the air because they have been so inconsistent with this.
Yeah, and I think it looked worse than it was. I'm rewatching it right now just to like really refresh my memory here. Yeah, I think it was a little worse than it was, but in the NHL, like when hits like that happen, like, can you hear that playing?
A little bit. It's fine.
I mean, I'm just rewatching it real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I think he's targeting the head there? No, I don't think, because if you're looking at it, he's not extending his arm out to hit him with the elbow, and he is lowering the shoulder, and it just seems like Domi's kind of coming into him at the last second at a weird angle. Those things happen so quickly, like they're such bang-bang plays. Like the puck is coming to Domi up the ice. He's going to make the hit. Domi tips it past him and tries to, I guess, reposition his body to avoid the hit. And ends up kind of taking the shoulder to the head. I don't think it was a hit, you know, like some of these boarding plays where the player kind of knows that the defenseman in Trouba's case knows that the player is in a vulnerable position. I don't think that was the case with this hit. But if you're looking at it from the Carolina Hurricanes, you're going to step up for your teammate there, whether it's a dirty hit or not, just because of the way it looks and the scenario that you're in. Like, you can't let that happen to one of your teammates and not respond, especially in the playoffs. Like, you have to show that you're going to have some major pushback to something like that.
Yeah, no, I get that whole aspect, but it's like, you know, people on Twitter are like, it's a dirty hit, it's a dirty hit. And I'm like, the more and more you look at it, it's really not. Domi puts himself in that position. That's his own fault. Can't fault Trouba for finishing the hit. He was already, you know, going in for it. And he can't stop himself. You know, that's like stopping yourself from that type of play is like one of the hardest things you could possibly do. And the other, you know, it's great the Rangers won. The other thing in this game was Tony DeAngelo and Ryan Reeves were arguing with themselves a little bit. So, you know, game five is definitely going to be a fun one if those two drop the gloves, because Tony D'Angelo is going to get his shit rocked by Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Lightning are sitting back at home watching these teams beat their shit out of each other, hoping please go seven, because they're just sitting at home resting up.
Oh, yeah, and that's one thing that sucks. It's like, you know, one of these teams, if this goes seven, one of these teams is going to get into that first game with Tampa and be gassed, but it's, you know,
sometimes that works out to be the opposite. Sometimes the team that's rested playing against the team that just won a seven game series, sometimes the team that's coming off the seven game has their legs a little more about them just from the carryover and the adrenaline from, you know, winning that series. So,
yeah,
it's nice to see at least one series be close and potentially go into game seven. But that doesn't mean that a lot of these games haven't been good. I kind of want to talk about the Avalanche and the Blues first before we get into Edmonton and Calgary, just because, you know, the Avalanche are playing tonight, Wednesday, I'm not even sure what today's date is, the 23rd, maybe 25th?
Today is Wednesday the 25th.
The Avalanche have a chance to close this series out tonight, and one of the bigger storylines, especially since Game 3, something else that may be a little questionable. So Game 3, Nazem Kadri is around the net. He checks one of the Blues players. I'm not sure which player it was. And that player goes into Bennington hard to the point where Bennington is now out for the rest of the series, even if St. Louis can prolong this. A lot of drama around that. Kadri getting threats, death threats. His wife's getting DMs on Instagram. Just a whole bunch of, like, uncalled for things. And I don't know if you've seen that play exactly. You're thinking, you know, they're, people are saying it was intentional, and other people are saying, no, it was an accident. And I think a lot of that comes down to perspective. If you like the Blues, you're going to see it as intentional. If you don't like the Blues, if you're an Avalanche fan, you're like, wow, no, that's clearly an accident. So I don't think it's something that can be known for a fact what it was. I would like to think Kadri wouldn't purposely try to injure the other goalie. He just doesn't have that type of history in the league. As a guy who goes out and tries to do that stuff,
he does have the history with Bennington, though. Those two hate each other.
Oh, and do those two specifically have a history?
Yeah, last year, if I remember correctly, during they faced each other in the playoffs last year, didn't they?
I don't Last year was the weird year where everyone was in the weird divisions, right? I don't.
Yeah. Let's look. Because last year, if I remember correctly, it was Binnington tried to hit him with his stick.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Kadri was saying something. I'm trying to see if they did play. They swept St. Louis last year, and Binnington Kadri said something, and the two of them Binnington tried to fight him multiple times, and then he just he was skating by and swung his goalie stick towards his head and tried to hit him in the head with it. And
I remember that.
Yeah, all hell broke loose, and you know,
well, Binnington's Binnington's kind of a hothead himself a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not his biggest fan because he tries to fight everybody. I'm like, dude, you're a goalie. Just fucking sit out of it.
Listen, that shit's cool if your name's Ron Hextall.
Yeah.
Or maybe Ray Emery or whoever you want to name. But Jordan Binnington? Yeah. I mean, we both picked Colorado to win this series. I thought this series might go a little longer, though. I thought there was a chance that St. Louis could give them a few more problems than they have so far. Maybe push this to 6 or 7 games, maybe. But with coming home for game 5 now, Colorado just really seems poised to put a cap in it tonight. And I don't know how I forgot to mention this with the whole Kadri drama. The game 2 days ago, game 4, Nazem Kadri in St. Louis comes out and scores a natural hat trick, scoring 3 straight goals to quiet the St. Louis crowd who had, like I said, he was getting threats, death threats, him and his wife, which obviously is uncalled for in any circumstance when it comes to sports. Like, you know, nothing in sports is that serious to, you know, be like that. And I know, okay, I watched Michael Layton let in the worst Stanley Cup game-winning goal in maybe NHL history in 2010. Like, I watched Jeff Carter whiff on a shot from well inside the hash marks with, like, under 2 minutes left in that same game. But, you know, it's like fans rushing the court. It's disgusting. It's ugly, and it's just not a good look. And in today's era where once you type something instead of DM, it's out there forever. Like, they can screenshot it. Next you know, your name's out there for sending a threat to Kadri or his wife on Instagram. It's just stupid. And then, so it's pretty funny to actually see Kadri, the one to come out and get the hat trick.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought St. Louis would put up maybe a little bit more of a fight just based off of how that whole Minnesota Wild series went for them. But we are talking about the Colorado Avalanche, who honestly, they have been the one lock to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals this year. And they are so far living up to that. You know, they swept Nashville. They could beat the Blues in 5, and they're really just, you know, they're clicking on and they're, you know, running on all cylinders. And I don't really see this going past 5 anymore. I think I said that this game was going to go to 6 games because I thought, you know, as you said, I thought St. Louis is going to put up a little bit more of a fight. And we'll see how this goes. But I don't really see St. Louis putting up too much of a fight just based off of the sheer fact that they have you know, a backup goalie in net. You're on mute.
Yeah, every time my mic cuts out, I have to re-enter the room. That is quite annoying. But, you know, their backup goalie was no goalie to sneeze at. He had himself, you know, quite a year this year, actually. But I think St. Louis is scrappy enough to maybe eke out a win tonight. But I don't see it. I definitely don't see them forcing a game 7. I think they can win tonight. I'll even go on record and say, and I think they'll win tonight. And I think Colorado will close this out in game six. I don't think they're really a threat to force a game seven, though.
I think
they're scrappy enough that they could get a win tonight. You mentioned earlier, Jordan Kyrou was still playing out of his mind. You still got Ryan O'Reilly over there. You know, Tarasenko, a lot of guys who have been there, done that. So maybe they can pull one out. Maybe they won't, but the series is all but over.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much locked up.
Now, getting into the last series that we haven't spoke about yet, a real interesting and fun one. The Edmonton Oilers take a 3-1 series lead, winning last night 5-3, I believe it was. I'm not sure if they got the empty netter at the end. I think they did. Wow. You know, one player, obviously besides Connor McDavid, one player that I'll speak on real quick, who I thought his career was pretty much done. He had bounced around place to place, wasn't finding much success, was getting into a lot of personal life trouble, having his struggles. And that's Evander Kane, who, again, had another goal last night, I believe. I think he had the empty netter. And he also had a natural hat trick in game three, scoring three straight goals for the Oilers, two of them coming within 36 seconds. And I believe it was the second one, which was just an absolutely ridiculous assist by Connor McDavid. I don't know if you didn't see it. McDavid gets a pass from Draisaitl, I believe, through center ice, and he's kind of at the blue line. And then he passes it to himself between his own legs that throws off whoever the defender was, and then now leads to a 2-on-1 from the blue line in. And he's got 25 points in 11 playoff games, and, man, I don't know. I'm just going to speak for players that I've watched growing up in my entire life. I don't think I've ever seen anyone as good as him. Like, legitimately, no. I've never seen anyone be able to do – I mean, I've seen players, you know, Pavel Datsyuk with the ridiculous handles. You know, Joe Thornton was one of the best assist leaders in the league for – a decade, but Connor McDavid can do all of that, and he can do it at a higher speed than I've ever seen anyone else be able to do it at.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the goals that he scored so far in this playoffs that kind of resonates with me is the goal he scored in game seven, when, you know, he took a shot on quick save, that got the rebound, took another shot, grabbed his own rebound again, and then just, you know, backhanded it in past Quick to get, like, you don't see a player grab two of his own rebounds and score off the third one. Like, that is, you know, ridiculous. And some of the goals that he scored against Markstrom, he's making, you know, Markstrom had a good year. He's making Markstrom look like an AHL goalie, yeah, with some of the stuff that he's doing, because it's unbelievable. And, you know, as I said earlier in the show, you know, with that type of player, we didn't think the ceiling was any higher, and he is clearly showing that the sky is the limit for himself right now. And he is willing that team throughout these playoffs. Him and Draisaitl are playing at an unbelievable level. And to be honest, Mike Smith his 41-year-old self has looked pretty well up until, I'd honestly say, yesterday, due to the fact of the goal that Calgary scored.
Who was it? It was Rasmus Anderson, I think it was, from his own blue line, sends a clapper down towards Mike Smith, and it goes in, like, glove side, like, almost like, not like a shelf, but like mid-glove side, like this puck. He claims he lost it in the lights, but wow. It's funny because I was watching the game.
Yeah.
Because I think it was late. I think it was in the third period that happened, maybe. Or was it, like, maybe the end of the second? And obviously, you know, it's in Alberta, and I'm laying in bed, you know, getting ready to go to sleep. I have the game on. And at the time, I'm thinking, like, wow, you know, like, me and Nick, we're talking about Mike Smith versus Jacob Markstrom in this series, the goaltender matchup. And, you know, Mike Smith is, you know, he's hanging his own. He's playing pretty well. And then no sooner do I say that, does Rasmus Anderson just send a clapper off the length of the ice to beat Mike Smith? But you know what? Hats off to him, because he didn't let it get to him. You know, it's not like he didn't look shaky afterwards or anything.
Yeah.
So fucking hats off to Mike Smith. Another thing, when it comes to Leon Draisaitl, it's almost like he's getting so overshadowed, but he's really producing at an extremely similar rate. And you could say that is, part of that is playing with Connor McDavid. But, you know, Leon Draisaitl is a guy who, you know, deserves some respect put on his name as well.
100% with that. And but like the other like, craziest part about this is, you know, they don't have the best like supporting cast around the rest of them. Like, you know, nobody thought Evander Kane would score a hat trick, let alone score a hat trick in the playoffs. And he's been playing great. Speaking about there's this video going around. I don't remember what game it was at. There's a Calgary fan reached up over the glass and threw a dollar at him.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
I watched it. I was like, wow, that's when you know you're petty playing in the NHL when you know declare bankruptcy and you have a fan throwing a dollar at you to tackle you.
That's some disrespectful shit, to be honest. Like, there's no way he felt good about that. Like,
no.
There's some things that fans can heckle you about, but like, I don't know, like that situation with the bankruptcy and the fan just like leaning over and chucking a dollar bill at him. That's some like next level trolling. Like, that's funny. Like, that man just discarded some of his own money just to get the troll on Evander Kane.
But the Oilers are definitely the team that has kind of surprised me the most, because even with, you know, Connor McDavid playing at his level, I'll be the one to say it. I thought the Maple Leafs had more of a chance just because they had a well-rounded offense. But when you look at the Oilers, it's really just Draisaitl, McDavid, and then you just have, you know, a few people playing behind them. You know, you have Evander Kane, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Zach Hyman, you know, some of Yamamoto. Some of these guys, like, you know, you don't really hear of, or they're just like, you know, quietly having like just like, you know, okay seasons. And they have really proved they have without a doubt proven me wrong with my expectations for this team, because I thought, you know, if you get to McDavid, you get to Draisaitl, it's really not going to be that hard scoring on a 40-year-old goalie. And Mike Smith has stood on his head just as, you know, any other goalie in this playoff. So props to him. You know, he held in strong, got a shutout against the Kings to send him to the second round, and now he's, you know, they're up 3-1 in this series.
Well, you know, the one thing I'll say is, you know, they have Mike Smith, so, you know, whether or not they could get past whoever they're going to play in the next round is obviously questionable. But before they even get to that, I do think, you know, with everything that we've said, you know, on the Oilers so far, I do think that Calgary is a good enough team and are skilled enough to sneak back into this series. I don't think this is necessarily over. Obviously, if you're the Oilers, you're not trading positions, and I do think the Oilers will end up finishing this series out. I think we both picked the Oilers to win this series in like 6 or 7 games. So I do think Calgary still has a chance. Obviously, Jacob Markstrom is still a good goalie. He's been struggling a little bit, getting lit up by Connor McDavid, who lights everybody up. I do like their chances. One thing I want to say about Connor McDavid is another controversial thing I'll say. If Connor McDavid played in the NHL in the 1980s, he'd be the greatest player who ever lived. And I don't care what anyone thinks. If that man played hockey back in that era, where goalies who were winning Vezinas had a sub-900 save percentage, okay, and like a 3 goals against average, he'd be the best player that ever lived. And it wouldn't even really be an argument. And obviously, Wayne Gretzky's numbers are so astronomical that no one will ever catch them, no matter what, because they're just that ridiculous. But if this man played back then in that same era, I have no doubt in my mind he'd be talked about as the GOAT.
Yeah, and I mean, just based off of his numbers that he's put up these last few seasons, he's already pretty much the GOAT right now. There's no player, honestly, I don't think there's a player right now that can touch his numbers that he's put up. He's put up, what, 3 back-to-back-to-back 100-point seasons. You know, he's carried his team to the playoffs.
He put up 123 this year.
Yeah.
That's the highest since, I think, it's like Jaromir Jagr in like the early 2000s. Like,
and
Like, you never thought that you'd see this type of production again in the new NHL with how, you know, the goalies. I think the goalies are better just because I think athletes in general, you know, as generations move on, become better. And the game kind of becomes faster. And obviously, it's a little bit of a different game. But I just don't see how you look at him play hockey and you can imagine someone being better than that.
No, there isn't. There's nobody. And, you know, all these players are uniquely different in their own way, and that's great. And there's really not much that, you know, you can do to, like, change that. All these players, you know, play at their own different levels. That's great. But he is without a doubt on his own, in his own little world, because you can't replicate that talent. I said it. There's nothing. I don't think there's going to be another Connor McDavid. I know Connor Bedard is right now slated to be like the next great superstar to come play in the NHL, but there is never going to be another Connor McDavid at probably, you know, until at least like until I'm not living on this earth anymore, because there's nothing that can compare to his talent. He's got excellent, you know, stick handling. He's got excellent control of the puck. He's fast. He's a big body.
There's no one in the league like he doesn't win the fastest skater at the skills competition, like, whatever. Like, there's that speed, and then there's being able to move at full speed with the puck under control type of speed, and there's nobody in the NHL that I think comes close to that. One more thing. When Connor McDavid was drafted in, I believe, 2015, how many points do you think the leading scorer in the NHL had that year?
I'd probably say a solid 70.
It was more than that, but not far off. The leader that year was Jamie Benn with 87 points. And before Connor McDavid came into the league, it was kind of the dead puck era. Like, not a lot of players were scoring in or were reaching the 100-point mark or, you know, the mid-90-point mark. And then Connor McDavid enters the league. And I think every year besides his rookie year, he's had 100 points.
Yeah, and he's so fun to watch. There's not you know, we probably have those same types of players on our teams where, like, you know, it's really exciting to see this person play live, but I want to see that man live because I want to see if he's, you know, moves as quickly as it shows on TV. But the other thing that I love about his game is he doesn't shy away from defenders. Like, for example, few of the goals he scored, not only in the playoffs but the regular season, he's taken on all like four defenders. Nobody does that. Well, and scores.
He's making them all look like they're in quicksand.
I know.
That's the problem. Like, the goal, I'm not sure if it was the last game. It may have been game three. One of the goals he scored, it's in the offensive zone. He has the puck. I think it's Zadurov, or am I pronouncing that right? Is it Zadurov? So. Big guy comes up, hits him. He somehow is able to just, like, very smoothly, like, go with the hit and bounce off it. And I think feeds Evander Kane and just darts to the net, leaving Zadurov in the dust, and works like a little nice give and go with Evander Kane, and then finds himself alone in front of the net with Jacob Markstrom, which is just chef's kiss, easy money for Connor McDavid, like, yeah, all day long. Like, he's not a guy that you – definitely the last guy that you want there, for sure. But I think the third round is going to be exciting. Obviously, we still have, you know, this round to finish off, and I think the end of this round will – you know, I think that Hurricanes-Rangers series specifically will end up probably going the longest. But you know what? I'm here for it. I think it's been a great playoff so far. I think the second round has been – obviously, there's not going to be as many game sevens, but the second round has been just as entertaining as the first. Really looking forward to the third round. And if you've got any – that was all I had. I don't know if you had anything else that you want to talk about before we got out of here. Now's the time.
I mean, like, I'm looking – I just pulled up ESPN to see, like, you know, if there's any new news that I missed. And – there's only two that I think, or, you know, it's Joe Thornton has no decision on whether or not he wants to play in his 25th season because he has now exited the playoffs being on the Florida Panthers. And Tom Wilson had ACL injury, ACL surgery, so he's out for 6 to 8 months.
You know, Tom Wilson's one of those, it's probably, this gets said all the time about him, but he's one of those players you absolutely hate, but would love to have him on your team. You don't like to see anyone get injured, but I feel like nowadays ACL injuries aren't as, devastating long-term, at least for their playing career, as it used to be.
Yeah, it definitely isn't, because, I mean, especially now with, you know, the type of modern medicine that we have readily available, not only, you know, in the world, but also in, you know, sports medicine as well. You know, 6 to 8 months now, he'll probably be, you know, ready to go by the time the season starts, or close to when the season starts. But, I still hate him. I don't think I'll ever like him, even if he ever went to the Devils or any other team that I like to watch. I can't stand that man.
Yeah, I think one more piece of news I heard today. I guess it's Flyers news technically, but it is kind of NHL news. John Tortorella has interviewed with the Flyers for the head coach vacancy. So I'm not going to speak too much on that because obviously I'm a Flyers fan. I try to keep this as neutral and league-wide as possible. So me and Sean will probably get into discussing that a little more. Wouldn't hate it, though. Don't know if he'd be my first option, but definitely wouldn't hate it. The guy has a history of getting the most out of his players, but also has a history of, his message kind of running dry after – you know, not too long as well, with just the type of guy and he is and what he demands and that no nonsense, like, I don't really give a fuck, you're going to play my way attitude. So we'll see.
Yeah.
That it? I guess we can get out of here.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it all up. There's no other games that we need to talk about, and there's really no other news that's come out, so...
All right. Well, we are almost at the 50-minute mark here. But before we get out of here, don't forget that this show is also brought to you by Iceworks in Aston, PA. Huge skating rink. I think they got like four rinks in there. They have a nice little pub on the main floor. Obviously, Old City Sports' personal bar, Top Shelf, is there. Really fun time to go out, hang out, do some ice skating. Get some drinks. You can visit iceworks.net to get more information on them. We're also brought to you by Lugaroo Custom Clothing, lugaroo.co. That is lugaroo.co. You can visit them. I know Jesse says all the time he's got his custom Flyers Alley jersey. I think Sam just got something made from there as well. They do really nice work, so don't forget to go check them out. We are also brought to you by Body Check Wellness. Visit bodycheckwellness.com. Use promo code OCS for 25% off your entire order, from CBD cream to oils. They got the whole nine over there. And then last but not least, we cannot forget about our boy Frank the Animal Bialowis, who does the best concrete in the biz, operating in the tri-state area. Visit bialowis.com. Concrete.com. That's BIALOWAS concrete.com. Get an estimate and he's the best in the biz. With that, it's been a pleasure. We will be back next week to discuss all of the latest series in the NHL, discuss the ending of round two, the beginning of round three. From your host, Kevin McHugh, from Nick Scorantino. Goodbye, everybody.